We're holding on Kuf Hei Amud Beis, about the middle of the wide lines. Line begins Shavua. We were talking yesterday about various details in a case where a person has an animal of somebody else, where really he stole it, and he's claiming that he was a shomer on it, or he's claiming that he found it and didn't know that it was the other guy's, etc., etc. So we mentioned that there can be a case where he says that I found this animal. He's saying, "What's this animal doing by you?" He says, "I found it. I didn't know that it was yours. That's what it's doing in my Rishus. So now go ahead and take it." So the Braise said, called that. He's moide beikar. He's admitting to the basic fact that it belongs to the other guy, and he's not trying to potter himself with anything. So therefore, he's potter. So he's returning the animal, and he's potter from the Choymash and the Oshem. So now in this connection, the Gemara says, Tanya, Oma ben Azai, Gimel Shavuos Hein. There were three cases involving a shvuah where Rashi explains. Now you have like this: you have a person goes over to one aide and he says, "Did you see my lost object?" And the guy says no, and then afterwards he was moida. So in other words, we don't have, so unlike in the previous case where we actually see the animal by him and he comes over and says, "What's my animal doing by you?" Here he's saying, "I'm looking for my animal. Do you have any idea where it is?" There can be three cases where he's mashbia, this person, where, "Do you know Eidos about my Aveda?" There can be where he knows that the animal is lost, that he knows actually that he knows that this animal does belong to so you can have where he knows that this animal does belong to the person who's beswearing him. So say he sees it in somebody else's chotzer, but he doesn't know who it is that actually found it. He sees in a chotzer, he sees this animal walking around, but he doesn't know who owns that chotzer. So therefore he swears that I don't know what's the story with your animal. The second case would be b'motz of aloyba. There could be where he swears that he where he swears that he knows the person who found it, but he didn't see the animal itself. Either way, when he swears that I don't know any Eidos about it, either of those cases, it's a shavuos sheker, because he knows some of the facts. He knows that it's in the schotzer. He knows that you should ask Pliny. And the third one is loy hikubav loy b'motza. The third one is where he doesn't recognize the animal or the one who found it, or the one who found it. Ask loy hikir loy loy bav loy b'motza kushte shtaba. What do you mean? So if he doesn't know who the person is or who found it, then he's swearing truthfully. What korban for a false shvuah are we talking about? And the answer is ema ba uva motza. We mean the other way around, that he knows where the animal itself is. He knows exactly who is it that found it, and he swears falsely that he doesn't know anything about it. Really, I guess the Gemara could have said it's not really so much that we have to change the wording of the Braisa, but rather when he says loy bov loy b'moitza, means that he's swearing I don't know anything about it, neither about it nor about the finder, when really in fact he knows about both of those. So we have three cases. So the Gemara says, "Well, my hilchza. Well, what is the practical implication in halacha that Ben Azai is listing? What do we mean? Do we mean that he's chayev or that he's potter?" So that's the thing. We said that he's potter, but actually maybe not. Ben Azai is saying there are three types of shavuos. So Rav Omer, Rav Ami, Omer Rav Chanina, l'ptur. It means as far as potter, that in all those cases, his edus does not directly have an implication as far as mamon, because in all those cases, he's saying that, so in the first case, he's saying, "I know where your animal is, but I don't know who that chotzer belongs to." In the second case, the other way around. In the second case, he's saying, "I don't know either one." Either way, one aide, even if he says the truth, "I do know where this animal is," what's going to happen if the owner of the animal takes the owner of that chotzer to Beis Din? Maximum he can get out of him is a shvuah, because one aide is only mechayev a shvuah, and Rav Ami says that that's not enough for to make the aide then chayev for carbon. Now you do have, by the way, there is a special kind of thing called shvuasa aidus, where a person goes over to Edim and says to them, "I want you to testify on my behalf," and they say, "We don't know the testimony on your behalf." Where there, if they do tshuva on it, then there's a special din called shvuasa edus on that, where also they're bringing a korban, they're bringing a korban over yerded. In that case, that's not relevant over here, because there that's definitely talking about two edim. So here we're talking about whether he's chayev or shvuah as for Hashem, whether he's chayav for Hashem Gzelus, because he swore falsely, because the fact is he's depriving this guy of money. But on the other hand, Rav Ami is saying that no, he's not actually depriving of money. He's only preventing him from being able to take the other guy to Beis Din and make him take a shvuah, and that's not enough to be mechayav the aid. Or Shmuel Amal Achiyuv, where Shmuel says the aid is actually going to be chayav because he would have caused the other guy to have to take a shvuah, and now like this he's preventing that from happening. Or beplugta dehani tanoi, in which case it's actually the same machloikas. So the Rav Ami and Shmuel are having the same machloikas as the following tanoim. The Tanya mashbia eid echad potter v'Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon Achayim. In general, when a person is mashbia one aid to go testify for him, where again, if that aid does come and testify, he's going to cause the nitba to have to swear, and instead he says, I don't know, and therefore the case doesn't end up going to Beis Din. So the Tanakama says potter, Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon says he's chayim. But my kumithi, what's the underlying machlokas? And by the way, sometimes the Gemara will say on such things, lema katanoi, should we say that this is like a machlokas tanoim, with the implication being, why are the amiroim arguing on a point that was already raised by the tanoim? Here, the Gemara is not doing that, maybe because we have this braisa, but it's not necessarily a well-known braisa that we should expect Rav Ami and Shmuel to have been aware of. Anyway, so b'mai kumithi, mar saba dorama dover agum lamomen kamomen dummy. Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon figures that holds that something that's going to cause money is considered like mammon. Now, in this case, the shvuah is dover agoyim lamammon, because if the other guy doesn't swear or can't swear or whatever, then he's going to have to pay. So therefore, Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon considers this to be a matter of mammon. Umar Sovar, lav kamammon dummy, where's Rav Ami and Rav Chanina hold, or Rav Ami Omer Rav Chanina and the Tanakama hold that it's not kamamon. The fact is that it's only a shvuah, it's not actual mammon. If the guy were to swear, he would be potter, and therefore you can't be mechayev of the aid. So that, together with the point that we had earlier on at the top of the Amud, which we learned about yesterday, about where we have that he's paying him, that we had over there a case that if the thing were to be stolen, he would have to pay, so it should be considered mammon, and if not, then not. So now you have the Ramban points out, you know, we learned a week ago about the concept of Dover Agom Lamomen Kamomen Dami, a Machlokas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Here it's not really the same thing, because here we're talking about a Shvuah Se'edus. So even the Chachamim who hold that in the case of Dover Agom Lamomen, where he was Mazik it, they would say he's Potter, but here they could say conceivably that the Eid is Chayev Korban. Because we're not just talking, because we're talking about he's denying an edus that could have been mechayev mammon if the other guy doesn't want to swear. And then the Rashba points out that you have the other way around as well. Rav Shimon, who says that he's chayev for darvar gom mammon, might only say where he's actually causing the hezek, where here it's more of an indirect thing. Maybe the Torah is only mechayev when he was actually koifer in an edus, which is mechayev mammon, not just one which is gerim mammon. So in short, in other words, it's not, even though the Gemara is using the word dover gerim mammon, it's not really the same concept as what we talked about a week ago in connection with Reb Shimon and the Chacham. In any case, Rashi learns that what the Gemara is explaining over here actually refers to all three cases, all the cases where he says, I know where the animal is, but not who, but not, or where he doesn't say, where he knows where the animal is, but not who found it, or vice versa, where he doesn't know either one. Rashi explains that the Gemara is saying that in all those three cases, there would have been, if he had said that, then there would have been a chiyuv shvuah. On the other hand, the Rosh learns that no, it's only when Shmuel is saying he's chayev would only be in the third case, only when he says that I know who found it and I recognize the animal itself. That would be a chayev shvuah. But in the other two cases, the Rosh points out, it wouldn't necessarily be even Shmuel would agree it's potter. There's no gerdim lamamon. It's only a gerdim of a gerdim, because first he would have to go and find who that chotzer belongs to, or find that person and then confront him and see whether the animal is in fact by him. And without that, you don't even have a shvuah. And even Shmuel says the Rosh would agree in those two cases that the aid can't be chayev for his false shvuah. Okay, so that's the machlokas of Rav Chanina and Shmuel, and that's also the machlokas of Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, and the Chacham. Next, the Gemara continues. Amr of Shesha. Now, obviously, all of this is if there's only one aid. If there are two aidim. So if there are two aidim, then obviously they would be mechayev of the guy actual mammon, and therefore, if they swear falsely, then you have shvuasa eidos, and that's a whole different matter. Rashi also makes a point that like this, for example, if they testified now it's not even in the case actually. Rashi says even with two edim, even if there were two edim, and they said we saw that Pliny has this object of yours in his chotzer, nevertheless, Rashi says the fact is that Pliny could always come to Beis Din and say nansa and say that there was an onus to it, and therefore I should be put and therefore I'm going to be potter with a shvua, and therefore even when there are two edim, then Rashi says then maybe those edim would be potter, because again shvuasa edos applies only when there's mammon at stake, and here it's not necessarily mammon, here it's only a shvua involved. Okay, the Gemara says another point. Amar of Sheshes, hakoifer bepikadon. If a person denies that he has a pikadon in his possession, and meanwhile there are edim who actually see that he has it. Nasa all of Gazlan b'chayev b'onsin. So the result is he now becomes a Gazlan on it, and therefore is chayev and onsin. Unlike as a shomer, he would have been chayev only as a shomer chinam. He would have been chayev only for pshia. As a shomer socher, he'd be chayev gneiva v'abeda, etc. But now where he claimed that I don't actually have this pikadon by me, then now he becomes a Gazlan, and he's chayev in everything, even in onsin. Actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that actually he still has the dinim of a shomer that he had before. So now he has the dinim of a shomer and a gazlan. The nafkamina of him being a shomer would be that if later on, after he denied it, the thing went up in value and then there was pshia, then he'd have to be chayev to pay the larger value. Unlike as a gazlan only, he would pay kishas agzela. So he ends up with both, really. And the Gemara continues, v'tana tuna, and in fact, our tana taught such a thing in a braisa, because a braisa says when the pasuk says about a person who found something and he denies it, the pasuk mentions a number of cases, we've quoted this pasuk before, where a person denies a monetary claim against him, and one of them is v'chicheshba, he denies it and he swears falsely on it, and then eventually v'heshev esagzela, eventually has to return the lost object. So the braisa says Oynish, Lamadnu Oynish. So we see from that the punishment that he's chayev in onsin, that he's considered a gazlan, and therefore he's chayev onsin. As hora minayin, where do we have a warning in the Torah that he shouldn't do such a thing? Now, Tosfos wonders, we'll talk about it soon, but as hora minayin, where do we find a warning that the Torah says not to do that? And whenever the Torah has a penalty, there also has to be a warning someplace where that is. Tamad loyim, aloy sechachashu, therefore you have in Parashas Kedoshim, where it says don't deny. Now, my lav, now don't we mean, in other words, that when there's this azhara and then there's this onesh, means onesh mamun, means in other words that he's going to be paying an onesh of mammon, that in other words that he's chayev that he's chayev in oinsin. So that braisa would bear out Reb Sheshes's point that he is in fact chayev in oinsin in that case. And the Gemara answers lo oinish shvua. Not necessarily. It means as far as an oinish for his false shvua. The Torah needs to tell us that he would be chayev the keren b'choymish va'osham in that case because of his shvua. So the braisa is not necessarily addressing whether in fact he's considered a gazlan. It's just saying that he's chayev in the regular case of a korban shvua. So a few different points over here is that first of all, you would think that the person denies pikadon, then isn't it obvious he's a gazlan? What else could he be? So the Rosh says, Roten Shittim Kubetzes, that look, you know, maybe he's a gazlan only if he's actually shaleach yod pikadon, only if he actually uses the pikadon, then maybe he's considered a gazlan. Furthermore, Tosfos points out, what do you mean by we always have the concept loy onash elim kein hizir, that the Torah never punishes a person with malchus or misa or whatever unless there's a warning someplace, but does that apply to mammon as well? Not necessarily. So why do we need an Azhara here in the first place? Why is the Gemara thinking that it would be an onesh of mamon, and therefore you should need a warning for it? By a korban, sure, we understand. In fact, Tosfa says, in fact, that is the very reason why we have, among all the chiyuve koris, why is there no korban for a person failing to bring a korban Pesach or failing to do bris milah? Because there's no azhara for them. They're mitzvah saseh, so there's no warning not to do it. But otherwise, since when do you need an azhara to bring a korban? But since when do you need an azhara for an onesh mamon? And again, the Rosh talks about, and the Rashba also explain that without that, we would have thought that only if the person swears falsely, only then is he chayiv in oinsin, and then he's also chayiv in a korban. What about if he didn't swear? Maybe he should be potter from oinsin, but no, because the Torah says lo yisachachshu, then we learn from that it means, in other words, that he's chayiv in oinsin. And then the Maral points out, and in Gur Auya on the Pasuk, that actually another point as well is that the very fact that he should be chayev in Oinsin is sort of a knas, because after all, so what happened? There was an onus, for example. That onus could just as well have happened by the owner, and instead we're making the gazlan, the shomer, liable for that. So therefore, we need a specific Pasuk in the Torah to tell us that. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara is saying that not necessarily is that Braisa supporting Rav Sheshes, because not necessarily talking about the fact that he's Chayiv and Onsin. Maybe that point, maybe in fact it's not so. He's not Chayiv and Onsin, but nevertheless, we're swearing falsely he's Chayiv for the Shavuot. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Homid Katoni Sefer v'ishtaba. What do you mean? The Braisa continues in the Sefer and says that it's talking about where he swore. Mikal Dereisha v'lo ishtaba, implying that the Reisha is talking about where he hadn't sworn. So therefore, the Reisha would still be a proof for my point. What do we mean? The Katani Sefer, because the Sefer of that Braisa continues, when the Pasuk says V'nishba al Shoker, that he swore falsely, then he pays the Keren B'choy Mishvashem, Lamanu Oynesh, from that we learn that there's an Oynesh, that he has to do that, V'choy Mishvashem the Oshem, Azhara Minayin, where do we have an Azhara, where do we have a warning not to do that? Talmud Loma, again, you have the same pasuk in Kedoshim. Loisa Shakru, don't lie. So therefore, Rav Sheshes says, when we do Sefer di Ishtaba, Reisha de lo Ishtaba. Necessarily, if the Sefer is talking about where he swore, the Reisha is talking about where he didn't swear. And yet the Braisa is saying that he's Chayev. What would he be Chayev for? There's no Shvor yet for him to be Chayev. Obviously, it must mean he's Chayev Ba'onsin. And therefore, that bears out Rav Sheshes' point. The Gemara says, no, Amri, they answer, Aydi v'aydi d'ishtaba. Both cases in the Braisa can be talking about that he swore. Kancha hoida, kancha bo eidim. It depends whether after he swore, he himself admitted, or whether eidim came and said that he stole it. Also, eidim chayev ba'onsin. We could say that maybe the Braisa is saying only if eidim come, only then does it establish that he's a gazlan. So then he's chayev in onsin. But the chomesh v'osham, would be the Chomish V'Oshem would be only if he himself admits, because that's the only case where you have those dinim. And here where Edim came, then you wouldn't say that. On the other hand, if he himself admitted, then he's going to be Chayiv in the Keren Chomish V'Oshem, but not necessarily in Onsin. So not necessarily is this Brais approving Rav Sheshes' point. Well, the Gemara says, Mosiv Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama says, I have a contradiction to Rav Sheshes. So Tosfos points out, actually, that the fact is that given that you have different onshim in two cases, in both cases, is why the Braisa would be saying that we need to have two different azharis, one learning from Loisa Chachashu and the other one from Loisa Shaku. Tosfos wonders why in fact it says that we're learning from the Chichesh Onas Shamainu, and then we're saying V'Nishbal Shoker, that if we're talking both of them are after the Sheker, then both of them should be referring to the Pasuk V'Nishbal Shoker. But anyway, the point is that the Braisa does not necessarily support what Rav Sheshes is saying. It doesn't contradict him either. So the halacha can well be like Rav Sheshes. Now Rami Bachama is going to point out a seeming contradiction on Rav Sheshes. So massive Rami Bachama. We have cases like this. Minat Torah, every case where a person swears is to pater him from paying money. The concept that a person should swear to collect money, that exists only derabbanan. And we have certain cases where, and so there's a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos that lists those cases when a person can swear and collect something. One of those cases is Sheknegdei Choshed Al Shavuah, where the opposite, where his opposite number in the Din Torah is Choshed on a Shavuah. So say, for example, you have a case where Reuven and Shimon are in Beis Din. Reuven is claiming that Shimon owes him money for whatever reason. Shimon is denying it in a way that would make Shimon chayav shvur daraisa. But now, supposing that Shimon is choshed ala shvur, we can't trust him to swear on this top on this matter because he's previously sworn falsely or acted in a way that we have concern that he's going to. So then we say we take the shavua and instead we tell Reuven, you swear that he does owe you that money and you'll be able to collect it. Dirabon. And the Mishnah says, what does that mean? Ketzad, how does a person become choshed al shavua? Echad shavua se'edus, whether a person swore falsely and Shavuos HaEdus, where he claims that he doesn't know a certain Edus, and really he does, the Echad Shavuos HaPikadon, or whether it was Shavuos on a Pikadon, that he claims the Pikadon wasn't his Rishus, the Afilu Shavuos Shav, or even if only the kind of Shavuos that he's done in the past have been a Shavuos Shav, swearing, for example, about something obvious that it's not, for example, saying about a wooden table that it's stone or whatever. So all those cases. And in that case, there's no, or actually, Rashi brings an example there's no implication of mammon in this shavua. So Rashi doesn't give an example. There are examples in the Gemara and Shavuos, but whatever. Let's say, for example, he only swore where there's no kfiras mammon, so he's ra'la shamayim, but not ra'la brius. Nevertheless, he can't swear a shavua on mammon. Now, the im isa, so Rami Bachama says if the din is like Rav Sheshes, that he's considered like a gazlan, b'kfiro hu de'ifzaleh, then already when he denied the b'kodin, he becomes possible to swear the shavua. What are you telling me that because a gazlan is possible to take a shavua? So obviously that would mean he's not yet considered a gazlan. Amri, so the answer, hocha ma'eskin et koi ba'agam de'lav kfiro. You can say that we're talking about when does he only become possible when he swore and not when he first says that not and not when he first denies the pikadin is where the animal at the time is in the meadow. The lav kfirahu, that's not really considered a kfirah, that's considered a gzela, disover ishtamit nalei, because he's thinking I'm just going to deny it for the moment and then that way I can evade him. Adazilno, my sinale, and then I'll go and bring him the animal. In other words, he's going to think to himself, look, it's a pikadon. I was supposed to keep it in my house. Instead, I decided to let it go out and graze. So I realized that was pshia. Now, all of a sudden, the guy came to come and collect it. So therefore, I better stall him till I can go get the animal. So he says that I don't have the animal. So he says that you never lent it to me in the first place, or I already returned it, or whatever kind of pshia would be about the pikadon. So that's not really considered a kfira that would make him be considered a gazlan. So therefore it wouldn't yet passel him from a shavua, only if he actually swears that the animal is not in his possession, then he would be possible for a shavua. And then that would be the case that the Mishnah is talking about, where instead Shekinegda Nishba Venoitel, that now the Teveya is the one who swears and collects the money. And Rav Sheshes continues, Teda. In fact, you can prove that. To Amr Rav Idi Ba'oven, Hakoifa B'milva, Kosher La'edus. Rav Idi Ba'oven says that if a person denies a milva, then but he didn't swear falsely on it, then he's Kosher La'edus. Now, again, because we assume that he's stalling rather than that he's actually trying to steal it. But because then, Kosher La'edus. On the other hand, Rav Idi Ba'oven is saying that if he denies a pikadin, then he's possible edus because that would be exactly what Rav Sheshes is saying, that the moment he denies that pikadin, then already he's possible edus. And Rashi brings from the beginning of Bava Metzia, so 2 weeks from now, Be'ez Hashem will be learning it, that we're talking about where Edom come and say that when he was kofer it, he actually had it in his possession. And Rabbi Idi Ba'oven says he's possible at that point. So therefore, Rav Sheshes says that bears out my point. That proves my point. But the Gemara says, "Va'omer ilfa shvua koina." Didn't ilfa say that a shvua is koina? What does that mean? Shvua hu dekanya av kfira lekanya. That only the shvua acquires it. Meaning, in other words, that he's chayev in own sin, as if it was his own animal. But kfira apparently not. And the answer is hachanami to kaima ba'agam. You could also say that ilfa is talking about that distinction where the animal is in the meadow, where again, just the kfir alone is not enough to for him to be considered a gazlan yet, because then he's just stalling. So at that point, he wouldn't be chayiv in oinsin. But versus where the animal is there in his house, and then he denies it, then we would say that he's considered a gazlan, and already there he's posel eidus. The boisema, or another answer you could say, my shvur kona. What is another possibility is that when Ilfa says shvur kona, maybe it means not as far as whether he's chayiv and oinsin, but he means that he doesn't have to pay at all. Kid Rav Huna, like what Rav Huna says, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, monali biyadcha. You have a case where Reuven says you owe me a money, va'aloyma in lacha biyadi, and Shimon says I don't owe you anything. The nishba, and he swears that and he swears that he's potter, which would be a shvur d'rabbanon, because he's kofer hakol and midaraisa, he only swears on moedim mitzvahs. But actually, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz makes the point that you could also have that he's saying mon li biyadcha because you're a shomer for it, and the other guy says, "No, I'm not a shomer because right now I'm not a shomer anymore because gnev or aved." And then in that case, he has to swear. So once he swears, Rav Huna says, "V'achakach bo edim," even though edim later on come that he is chayev potter. Then he would be potter from paying shenem of a lokach ba'olav v'lo yishalim, because the pasuk says that when he swears, when a shomer swears, the owner should take that shvua, and he doesn't pay, implying kivin shekiblo abaylim. Once the owner has accepted that shvua, shuvain mashalim mamon, then he's not paying mamon. So now the gemara is going to go and discuss that point in detail. Obviously, it's not. We're not going to say that every single time. We definitely have cases where he swore falsely, and then he's going to have to pay. But we have at least some cases, whereas we're going to go work out over here now in the gemara that once he swore that he doesn't owe the money anymore, then even Adim coming later on and saying that he does is not really going to change that under the conditions that the Gemara is going to discuss over here. Now, the mechanism behind that, why indeed he shouldn't have to be chayv to pay, given that there are Adim against him. So again, we're going to work out in the Gemara over here, and also be shown and discuss what kinds of shavuos we're talking about. But the idea would be the Chazanish gives an explanation on it that it's called kum dina. Once the din has already been established, or once the verdict has been established a certain way, then even though it turns out that he swore falsely, we're still not going to be mechayiv him again, because already the din Torah has been completed. So now let's analyze that and see in what cases that applies. So Gufa, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mona li biyadcha. If Reuven says you owe me a mona v'haloyim ein lecha biyadi klum, and Shimon says I don't owe you anything because, for example, as we said, as Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, we're talking, let's say, about a shomer who says there was gneva v'aveda. For example, I'm a shomer chinam, and there was gneva v'aveda, and therefore I'm potter. The nishba, and he swore about that, or bo edim, and edim came and said that it's not so. Now if he's toyin tainus ganev, that's something else. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that at the bottom of the Amud, where he claims that it was stolen. That's a different thing. There, the Torah says he does have to pay. He does have to pay the kefil. But here we're talking about where the Adam came and said that for some other reason. For example, the Adam came and said that he was preshei, and instead of that, it was gneiv of aveda. Nevertheless, Rav says potter. He would be potter from paying shenem of a lokach ba'olav v'lo yishalim, because the pasuk says the owner takes that shvua, and therefore the shomer doesn't pay, implying kivin shekiv l'baylam shvua shevein mishalmin. Once the owner received the shvua, then the shomer is not paying anymore. So that's what Rav is saying. Now, when does this apply? Omar Rav, Mistabra Milsa de Rav ben Milva. It would seem logical that Rav's din must be talking only about a loan. Deloitte saw Nitna, because after all, a loan is meant to be spent. So therefore, you could say that the Shavua patters him from paying for that Tashlumin rather than returning the actual item. Ava Pikodin, but when it comes to a Pikodin de Birshusa de Morikoi, after all, that Pikodin is still considered to be in the Rishus of the owner. So what do you mean, Velo Yishalim? Wherever this animal is, it belongs to the owner. So therefore, he ought to be chayiv in that case to actually return. So we're not talking about, let's say, for example, so we're talking about that he claims there was Gneva Vaveda, and therefore the animal is gone, and really the animal still exists. So is Rav talking about that case? On the face of it, Rav says that no. Kim, but I swear in the Eibishter's name, Omer Rav, a Philip Pekodin, that in fact the Rav did say his din, even by a Pekodin, that you're going to have cases involving a pekudin where the shomer is going to be potter from paying once he swore, even though it was a false shvur. The Gemara is going to work out now in what cases that is exactly. Rashi and Tosfos point out that the Gemara understands at this point it can't possibly be referring to every possible case. We know Toyin Tainus Ganev, as we said, for sure he's going to be Chayev Kefal. The Pasuk says so. We have to be talking about other cases, but now we have to figure out just what those cases are. So, after all, Rava says because after all, the pasuk v'lokach ba'olav lo yishalom is not talking about a milva; it's talking about a pikadon. So, of necessity, therefore, Rav's din must be referring to a pikadon as well. So the Gemara says Yosef Rav Nachman v'ka'omel ha'shmaiter. Rav Nachman was sitting and saying over this teaching that what Rav says, that there can be a case where a person is nishba, where a shomer swears falsely and he's potter from returning the thing afterwards. So Rav Achaba ben Yumi asks on Rav Nachman. He says that you have a Mishnah as follows at the end of Masech Shavuos. Reuven says Heichen Pikdoni. He says to Shimon, "Where's my pikdon?" Omalei Ovad. The shomer says it got lost. Lost, by the way, doesn't mean I forgot where I put it. That's considered pshia. We'll learn in Bava Metzia, but it means, in other words, it was lost. As in other words, I sent it out at one point to the meadow to graze, and it wandered off. Let's say, mashbiachani. So Reuven says, "Fine, I'm going to be swear you on that because you are shemachinam. You have to swear on that claim." V'oma omen, and Shimon says omen, which means that he accepts the shvur. V'edim the edim oiser sha'achloi, and then there were edim instead that he himself ate the animal. Mishalom as a keren, then he pays the keren. Hoida me'atzma, if he himself admits that he swore falsely, Mishalom keren v'choy mishvashem, then he pays the keren v'choy mishvashem, because as we've been saying over the last couple of blat, he's chayiv in the keren v'choy mishvashem only if he admitted on his own, not when Adam came against it. Anyway, the point is that there you see he does have to pay. So what are you telling me that when the shomer admitted that swore falsely, he's potter from paying anymore? Rav Nachman hoch my skin and kugen nishba chutz the beistin. Rav Nachman gives an answer that this Rav's statement that he's potter is where he or rather Hocha over here in this mission of my skin and Kenshinish Bachutz the Beis Din, we're talking about we swore outside Beis Din. So therefore, that shvur is not strong enough for him to be coined at the Pekodin. So therefore, now later on, when it turns out that he was lying, then he does have to return the actual Pekodin. But Rav was talking about a case where Rav, so it's not strong enough to take away the mammon, therefore he's still chayev to pay it. By the way, Rashi points out that Rav Acha Baman Yumi is not asking from the is only asking from the Reisha of the Mishnah, the case where we say that he's paying keren. He's not asking from the Sefer, because Rav's not talking about a case where the person is moida. Where he's moida, then the pasuk says veheishav esagzev. On the other hand, Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara is further on going to ask from that case of Hoida as well. So maybe the Gemara doesn't know yet that there's a difference between whether he was Moida or not. And Tosfos says again, sure, Torin Tainus Ganav, we know that he's Chayev. The Pasuk says so. But you would think that you would think at this point, the Gemara assumes that maybe even whether he was Moida or whether Adam came, even so, Rav would say that he's Potter. And when is he chayev the keren v'choy mishvashem? Only as the Gemara is going to go on to say, where he voluntarily swore, but not where he was swearing al pi beistin or al pi the other guy. So at this point, then, in other words, the question might well be from both the Reisha and the Sefer. So he's talking about chutz the Beis Din, he swore outside Beis Din, and that's not a strong enough shvur to say that now he owns that animal to the extent he shouldn't have to return it. Omalei, said of Achaba Manyumi, says, Yehochi, Ema Sefer. Well, then look at the Sefer of the Mishnah, where it continues, Heichan Pikdoni, Omalei Nignav, where the owner of the Kodin comes and says, Where's my pekodin? And the shomer says it was stolen. He says, Mashbiach ani, I'm making you swear. But oma omen, and he says, omen, and therefore he's chayiv now in a shvua. And now it's considered like he took a shvua. But edim osish agonroi, and there were edim that he himself stole it. Then mashalim tashlomi kefil, then he pays kefil, because that's a case of toyin tainas ganav, where he pays kefil. And hoidem ha'atzma, if he himself admits, mashalim keren v'choy mishvashem, then instead of the kefil, he pays the keren v'choy mishvashem. We're going to learn in the Gemara in a couple of days, Be'ez Hashem, that you never have both. You never have a person is chayiv in the kefil as well as in the choymish. It's one or the other. Anyway, says Rav Acha Baman Yomi, v'yisakadai b'chutz v'beis din. If you're going to tell me that he swore outside beis din, mi ika kefil, when is there a kefil in that case? Only when a person swears in beis din. Only then is there kefil involved. And here, since the Braise is saying that there can be kefil involved, obviously it means he beswore him in Beis Din. Therefore, the Reisha must also be talking about where he beswore him in Beis Din. So there, so Rav Acha Baman Yomi says, you see already from that part that he's chayev, that he's chayev when he swore falsely about what happened to it, as in this case, where he swore that it was ovad, so he's not turned tainas ganav, but nevertheless, he is chayev to pay, not like what Rav is saying, and not like what you, Rav Nachman, were quoting in the name of Rav Nachman. Omaleh, so Rav Nachman answers, Yachilni l'shanui lach reisha chutz the beistin v'seifer v'beistin. I could answer you that, in fact, the two cases of the Mishnah are talking about different cases, the reisha involving where he says Ovad is talking about where he swore outside Beis Din, and the Sefer where he claims Nignav is talking about in Beis Din. Miu shinuy d'chika lo mishanin lach. I don't want to give you a forced answer like that. It would be very forced to say that the two parts of the Mishnah are talking about two completely different cases. So no, I'm going to answer you, Aydiv Beis Din. Both cases, in fact, are talking about he did swear in Beis Din. So not like we said before, that the first case where Ovad is claiming he swore outside Beis Din, both of them, in fact, are in Beis Din. V'leikasha, kan b'kofatz, v'kan b'shaloi kofatz. It depends. In the ratio, we're talking about where the mafgid went ahead and was mashbia, where the balabas was mashbia, the shomer, on his own. So even though it was in the presence of Beis Din, he didn't wait for Beis Din to tell the guy, go ahead and swear, he himself jumped up and said, Mashbiach ani. And the other guy said, Amen. So that would be the case. So even though it's in front of Beis Din, it's not considered a strong enough shvua for him to be able to be koina the pikadin, where we'd say that afterwards, if it turns out that he was lying, he shouldn't have to give back the pikadin. No, he still has to give it back. Whereas Rav is talking about where he didn't do that, he left it for Beis Din to be swear him, and in that case, that's a strong enough shavua that in that case the shomer is koneh. And then in that case, then even after the shavua, Rav is saying he doesn't have to pay. Tosfos wonders in that case, then why did it say first Toyus Toyin Tainus Ovad and then Toyin Tainus Ganav? On the face of it, it should be saying within Toyin Tainus Ganav itself, you could make that distinction. Within Toyin Tainus Ovad itself, you could make that distinction. Anyway, or even within Toyin Tainus Ganav, we would say that when Kofatz, when he jumped ahead and then was Mashbiah him, then the other guy wouldn't be chayiv in the kefil. Rashi points out that obviously the Sefer, in the case of the Ganav, when it mentions kefil, necessarily that happens only when the Dayanim beswear him. So we can say, so that part definitely has to be where Beis Din beswore him. But at least it's not so difficult to say that the first part of the Braisa is saying where the Mafgid himself would beswore him, and the Sefer is talking about where Beis Din is. At least it's all taking place in Beis Din, as opposed to say that one is talking about where he beswore him outside Beis Din, and the other one in Beis Din is a lot more of a doichek, and therefore Rav Nachman says, I wasn't going to do that. Rav certainly is going to agree that where he's toyin tainas ganav, he pays kefil, because the pasuk says so. So we know, obviously, there is a case where he's paying kefil, and that would be where Beis Din beswore him. As far as this kofatz, by the way, there is the Rashba brings an explanation that maybe kofatz means the shomer himself voluntarily swore. So the Mishnah presents it where the mafgid tells him mashbiach ani, and he answers amen. But we could equally well say that the same din would apply if he himself says I'm swearing to what I'm saying without waiting for Beis Din. So Amale Rami Bachama Rav Nachman, Mechti de Rav Lo Svinalach. But Rami Bachama asked Rav Nachman, why are you even bothering? You hold anyway that a shomer never acquires the pikadin by swearing. Now we don't know. We don't find clearly in the Gemara where Rav Nachman says that, but obviously Rami Bar Choma had heard Rav Nachman say that. So he asks him, Mashkuni nafshach ad Rav lomaloch. So why do you have to make yourself a mashkun for Rav? In other words, so say that the Mishnah can't be understood according to Rav. It's understood better according to your shita. Why are you forcing yourself, like as if you're making yourself a mashkun, like you have to substitute for Rav to explain the Mishnah according to him? And by the way, this became a popular expression. You have in writings of various achronim, the Note of Yehuda uses this expression in his Shuvos, and so do many other achronim, that we have an expression that a person will say, even though it's very hard for me to understand what my Rebbe said or what a previous posik or whatever said, nevertheless, lam shuchi or lamashkuni, nafshin ad Rav, we're going to do that. We're going to make ourselves a mashkin for Rav, and we're going to make every effort to understand what he's saying rather than leaving it with sorachi. Anyway, so why are you bothering? Omalei, sort of Nachman says, yeah, I may not agree with Rav, but Leforusha de Rav. I want to explain how Rav would understand the Mishnah. De Rav Hochi Matarik Zol Masnesin. Rav would understand the Pasuk. The way I'm saying it, he would have to understand that it's talking about where there was Kofatz versus Loi Kofatz, where again, if Kofatz, then we would say that that's not a strong enough Shavua to take away his Chiyuv to pay, where Loi Kofatz, where Beis Din beswore him, and he swore falsely that the Kodin was lost, then Rav would say that he's potter from paying in the future. On the other hand, if he claims that it was stolen, then he's going to be chai of the kefil because that's the posik mentions that. Okay. So the question is, Rav Krokama. The question is, how can Rav Nachman be arguing with Rav? Rav is bringing a posik, the lokach bala, v'lo yishalim. The answer is Amri. The answer, Kro. No, because really that pasuk is coming to teach us a different point, that in all cases of a shvur minatorah, like we said before, it's only they swear and they don't pay. The whole concept of swearing in order to collect money does not exist daraisa. And that's the pasuk says. The lokach ba'olav v'lo yishalim, because when it says the owner should take the shavua, v'lo yishalim, and the shomer should not pay, that means micha olav l'shalim. The implication is the one who normally would have had to pay is now potter as a result of the shavua. Micha olav l'shalim, hu nishba, so the one who's obligated to pay is the one who has to swear in order to collect. So therefore, we learn from that pasuk that there's no such thing as swearing in order to collect money. Daraisa, dirabanan, and again, there are several cases where there are. So therefore, so we can say that the posuk is coming to tell us that din, not necessarily to tell us that the shomer himself should be potter from paying as a result of his shvuah, not necessarily. So the Pnei Yeshua deals with in that case, how is Rav going to know both dinim from it? Anyway, okay. And the Gemara continues, Masiv Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna says, I have a further contradiction on Rav. The Mishnah says, in Masechta Shavuos, he shviya olav chamisha panim, if the owner of the pikadon beswore the other guy five times, that and each time the guy swore that he doesn't have it, bein bifnei beistin, bein shaloi bifnei beistin, whether in the presence of beistin or not, the kofar olav, and the shomer each time was kofer and says that he doesn't owe that money, that he doesn't have that pekodin, chayev al kolachas v'achas, then he's going to be chayev a chomesh and an oshav for every individual shvur. But Amar Rav Shimon, matam, and Rav Shimon says, why is that? After all, after the first kfira, then he's already potter. So the rest of it is not a kfiras moment. Why is he chayv? A chomish and osham. He should be chayv only for a shvuas bitui, like we talked about yesterday. He'll be chayv a korban olav yodin for it. But instead, we're saying he's chayv a chomish and an osham for each one. The reason is hover yachzol v'yachol lachzol lahodis, because after each denial, he could go and admit that after all he swore falsely, and the fact that he doesn't do it that makes him chayv a chomish and osham individually for each time. So therefore, in other words, each time he is kofa mamon. Now, v'hocha kofa tzlen motzis amrit. Now here you can't be talking about where the mafkid himself went ahead and beswore him, because he shbiya olav katani, because the Mishnah clearly says he shbiya olav, which implies that he made the beistin beswear him. So in other words, Rashi points out, if it meant that he himself beswore him, then it would have said he shbi'oi. He shviya olav implies that he made somebody else have the person make him take the shvur. And Tosfos adds that he shviya olav, again, the word olav implies to a beis din. Mashviya chani could be that I myself make him swear. Anyway, so we're talking about that Beistin made him swear. Chutz the Beistin le Matzis Amrit with ne Beistin Katani. You can't say we're talking about outside Beistin because it says in Beistin. So even though Beistin was Machayev Mashua and he swore in front of Beistin, he still has to pay. The Mishnah is saying he still has to return. He still has to pay the Keren B'Chomesh and bring the Korban Asham. So again, not like now. So the Gemara says, "Who moisiv vav, who mafanik la?" Rav Hamnuna asks the question. He also answers, "Litzdadin katani." The Mishnah is actually talking about two different cases. He shbia olav chutz the Beistin, where he made him swear by Beistin, but it was outside Beistin. So Beistin told him, "You have to swear." And instead of swearing right there in Beistin, he left Beistin and then he swore there. Or ube Beistin kofatz, or that it's in Beistin. And the mafkid jumped up and made him swear. So when the Mishnah says the expression bein b'fnei beistin, bein shaloi b'fnei beistin, it means that it can be b'fnei beistin and then he went out, or shaloi b'fnei beistin, or so it can mean. In other words, there's two possibilities. B'fnei beistin would be in front of beistin, but they're not the ones who made him swear, or b'fnei beistin in the sense that beistin told him to swear, but he didn't swear over there. But if he had actually sworn in Beistin itself, then you would have Rav's din that he is potter from pain. So the Gemara continues, Mosiv Rava. So Rava now says, I have a contradiction on Rav. A Braisa says, Balabais Shaton Tainus Ganav Bikodin. If the Balabais, meaning the Shomer, claims that the Bikodin was stolen from him, the Nishba, and he swears on it, Vahoida, Ubo Edim, and he admits it, and then afterwards Edim come, Iman Shalai Bo Edim Hoida. If he admitted before the Edom came, Meshalom Keren v'Chomesh v'Asham, then he pays the Keren and Chomesh and Asham as usual when he was Moida. V'im Meshabo Edom Hoida, Meshalom Tashlome Kefa v'Asham. And if only after the Edom came he admitted, then he pays the Tashlome Kefa, but he also pays the Asham. So now he pays the Tashlome Kefa because of the Edom. He still pays the Asham, but he still brings the Asham because of his false Shavua. So Rava says, v'hocha chutz the beistin, v'hocha chutz the beistin v'kofatz loy matzis amrit. Here you can't possibly be saying that it's talking about that we swore outside beistin or where the mafkid made him swear. You can't say kefal katani because the Mishnah is saying kefal, and to be chayav kefal would only be when beistin made him swear and he swore actually in front of beistin and then edim come. So necessarily, therefore, we have to be talking about that. He swore in front of Beistin. So even when he swore in front of Beistin, if he was Moda, he's still going to pay the Keren. So again, the question is not so much about where the Edim came. The question is more from the case where he himself is Moda. Ela Omar Rava. So Rava says no. Call Hoida, whenever he admitted, Loishna Toin Tanis Ovad, Loishna Toin Tanis Ganav Nami, whether he claims Ovad or whether he claims Ganav, Loi Omar Rav, Rav never said his din to apply to such cases where he was Moida. Doksiv, Vihisvada, because after all, the Pasuk says that he admits, and then therefore he has to pay, so therefore that means Deboi Shalomi, and Vihisvada, the Pasuk is saying that then he has to pay Deboi Shalomi, Karen B'Chomesh, so now he has to pay Karen B'Chomesh, so obviously Rav is not going to say in that case that he's potter from paying because of his Shavuot. And Torin Tainas Ganav Bo Edim Nami Lo Omar Rav. Clearly, Rav cannot be talking about the case where his Torin Tainas Ganav and Edim came as well. Clearly not. Oksiv Tashlome Kefal, because the Pasuk clearly says in Parashas Mishpatim that then he's Chayev Kefal. Ki Ka'omak and Torin Tainas Ovad, the case would be rather when is Rav talking about when he claimed Tainas Ovad, he claimed that the Pekodin was stolen, the Nishba, and he swore, the Loi Hoida, he has not yet admitted that he swore falsely, or Bo Edim, and now Edim come. So now we're talking about that would be the one case where Rav is talking about that now he's potter from paying because once he made the shvua, then he's kohen of the pikkudin, and now he doesn't have to answer it. So now that will also answer Rav Hamnuna's question. And in fact, Rava says, now you don't need to say, like Rav Hamnuna said, litzdodin, that it meant the Mishnah had talked about where the Beistin told him to swore, and he swore outside Beistin, or where it's in Beistin, and the Mafkin himself made him swear. We could say that the fact is, once he's Moida, then Rav is going to be mechayiv him to pay. So we're talking about only when he's not Moida, and therefore, so that would be the one case where Rav says that he's potter from paying. Because he's kohen. Within that itself, you have a machlokas. You have a machlokas rishonim. Does that apply to? Not a machlokas rishonim. You have rishonim point out, the Rashba points out that actually this would apply to other dinim as well. That in the other cases where the Torah also says that a person has to swear, where there's eid echad, where there's moed b'mitzas, in all those cases he swears and therefore he's potter. So now the Gemara continues. So Rav Gamda went and told over this whole discussion and this point of Rava's to Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, I don't understand. After all, Rav Hamnuna was a direct Talmud of Rav. He ought to know that Rav was talking about saying that even when he was Moida. And therefore, the commosive hoida, and therefore that would be why he brought against Rav a contradiction from a Mishnah that talks about where he was moida. But after Amrit hoida loy, you're telling me that Rava is saying that no, when he's moida, then Rav never said the din in the first place. Then what was Rav Hamnuna thinking to even ask the question? And the answer is Amrit Rav Acha Sava Rav Ashi Rav Hamnuna Hochi Kokashale. The answer is Rav Acha Sava says Rav Hamnuna's question was as follows: it's true he knows that Rav's din was not meant to apply to hoida. But he says, "Iyamet b'shleima nishba." It's easy to understand that if we're talking about where he swore, he also edim mechayev. And later on, if edim come and make him and say that he swore falsely, he's going to be chayev. Then am tula hochi mechayev in the korban ashvur basraisa. That would explain why that second shvur. After the first shvua, then he's still chayev to pay the keren. So it comes out there's still moment by him. Therefore, when Adam come and say that he hadn't returned it, then we can be mechayev him a korban for that second shvua because he could have been moda in between, and therefore everyone is shvua on tefillas moment. Again, because he can admit between each one. Eli Amit ki also Adim Potter, but if you're going to tell me that ultimately if Adim come, then he's going to be Potter because Rav is saying his din in that case that where he never admitted and that he swore falsely that he's going to be Potter, then how could you have a case where when Adim come and testify against him Potter, then he's going to be Potter? And we should be mechayev mashvur because he could have been moida. It's not logical. The fact is, right now he hadn't been moida. So once he was moida, when he's still denying and still swearing that he doesn't have it, then that's only a kfiras dvarim. He's not being kofer on money. So because the edim would not be enough to take it away from him. So why should we be mechayev him in that case? Why would we be mechayev him a korban for that second shvua? So therefore, of necessity, that's what caused Rav Hamnuna to ask the question, not because he knows that Rav is talking about, not because he says that Rav is only talking about a case of Hoida, but because in that case, then it wouldn't be logical why the Edim should be Mechayev him, if Edim come without his Ada, he'd be Potter, and then if he's Moida by himself, he's Chayev, and the result is just the Edim coming is going to be Mechayev him, where after all, there's no Hoida yet. So Rav Hamnuna points out that there seems to be something inconsistent about Rav's din, and in fact the poskim do bring Rav's din, but again only in certain limited cases actually. Basically they paskin not like Rav because of all this discussion over here. The Gemara continues. If a person claims a tainas ganav as far as a pikadun, so he claims that the pikadun was stolen and really he himself kept it and he swore about it and he's potter. Because after all, he's a shomer chinam and he's potter for gneva. And then, so now the Torah says clearly, mishalom tashlome kefil, then he's paying tashlome kefil, tovach omacher, and if he shechts it or sells it, mishalom tashlome abav chamisha. And the reason is, hoyo v'ganav mishalom tashlome kefil, v'toyin tainas ganav mishalom tashlome kefil. He says like this. Now, the Torah, when the case of the Shomer, only mentions that he's chayev in kefo, yishalom shnayim l'reihu. It never actually mentions that he should be chayev in tashlum abav chamisha if he shechted the animal or stole it. But Reb Chiya Ba'aba is saying, nevertheless, he will. Since a ganav pays the shlomo kefil, and so does a toin tainas ganav, ma ganav shul mashalom kefil tov chomachem mashalom shlomo abav chamisha. So the same way as a ganav is going to pay abav chamisha as well, he shechted it and stole it. Af toin tainas ganav bekodin shul mashalom shlomo kefil tov chomachem mashalom shlomo abav chamisha. So the same way would be by toin tainas ganav. We learned this actually at the beginning of the seventh parak as well, where we were talking about all the dinim of the shlomo abav chamisha. We had the same point over there. So yes, in other words, Reb Chiya Ba'aba is saying that the Toyin Tainas Ganav, the Shomer who claims that it was stolen from him, is exactly the same as the Ganav in that regard. And therefore, not only Kefal, but also Tashlom Abav Chamish. The question is, Mala Ganav Shekein Mishalom Tashlom Kefal Shalei B'Shavua. Yeah, but how do you compare? Ganav is paying Tashlom Kefal even when he didn't swear about it. What about the return tainus ganav is paying only when he swears? So maybe therefore he's a more lenient situation, and we shouldn't say that he should have to pay tashlum abav chamisha. And the answer is Amri. The answer the answer is Amri Hekesha huva in Meshivan al Hekesha. The answer is because we have a hekesh between the ganav and the Torah tainus ganav. Because the Torah puts, we learned back in the seventh parak, the Torah puts these things together. Im yimotzei aganav yishalom shnayim, where we worked out at the beginning of the seventh parak, we worked out that when the pasuk says im yimotzei aganav yishalom shnayim, it's talking about the ganav himself. And then when it says the next pasuk when it says the next pasukim about the shomer swearing, and it says yishalom shnayim l'reihu, so we have a hekesh between the ganav and the Torah tainus ganav. We discussed in the seventh parak. There's also psukim a few psukim earlier where it says im himotzi biyadi agneva mishor ad chamor ad sechaim shnayim yishalom, and that also refers to a ganav. And we talked about different possibilities of why we need two psukim about a ganav. But anyway, the point is we have a hekesh ve'in meshiv and alakesha. You can't refute a hekesh. So therefore, so it applies, even though there might be a logical reason to distinguish between them. But the Gemara says exactly that. That works out according to the opinion there in the seventh parak, that the words that the words im yimotzei aganav yishalom shnayim are referring to a regular ganav, and then v'chad, and then the pasuk the im lo yimotzei aganav, and where it says yishalom shnayim l'reiyo is b'toyin tainas ganav shaper. Well, then we have that hekesh. But we also learned over there the possibility that both of those psukim are actually referring to the Torah tainus ganav, and we said there why you would need two psukim, and that the fact that the regular ganav pays kefil, we learned from a few psukim earlier where it says imotze simotze biyade agneva. And we worked that all and out in detail over there, and then there's no hekesh. Now what are you going to say? There's no hekesh. And the answer is Ami. The answer, sure, but the pasuk could have said Ganav. The pasuk could have said Imimotze Ganav, and it says Ha Ganav. So therefore, we learn from that also that he's paying Abba B'chamisha. But the Gemara says Esvid Reb Chiya Ba'aba L'Rabbi Yechanan. Now Reb Chiya Ba'aba, having said this din in the name of Reb Yechanan, now he asks Reb Yechanan on how you could say that the Toyin Tainas Ganav is going to pay Abba B'chamisha. We learn in a Braisa. So there is a similar Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, but here the Gemara is going to here the Gemara is going to be quoting from a Braisa. Reuven says Heichan Shori, where's my shur? And Shimon answers Nignav, it was stolen. Reuven says Mashbiach Ani, I'm making you swear on that. But Oma Amen, and Shimon says Amen, and therefore now it's considered that he took the shvur. But Edim the Edim Oisa Shachle, we learned the son of an Aleph. And Edim say that he actually ate it. That Mishalom Tashlom Ekevel. Now he ate Tashlom Ekevel. What do you mean? If he ate it, means he shechted it. V'ha-ha-ha, the Efshel Kazayis Basa B'loi Shechita. It's impossible to eat a Kazayis of meat without shechting. So necessarily there had to be Shechita over here. V'katani Mishalom Tashlom Ekevel. And then Braisa is still saying only that he pays Kevel, implying Tashlom Ekevel ain't Tashlom Abba B'chamisha Loi. So he's only paying Kevel, not Abba B'chamisha. So that contradicts your din. And the answer is no. No, because you could say that he's talking about he ate it. He was over on the issue of nevela, and he ate it as a, and he ate it as nevela without shackling. So the Gemara asks, why does Rabbi Yochanan need to use such a doichik answer? At least let him say that he did shack it, but it turned out to be trefa. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that said shchita she'en ru'uya lo shma shchita, that where the shchita does not result in the animal being roy to eat, then it's not considered a shchita, and he's not chayef at tashlom abav chamisha. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan answer him like Rabbi Shimon's shchita? And the answer is because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Meir, dama shchita she'en ru'uya shma shchita. He holds like Rabbi Meir, who says that even such a shchita is a valid shchita. Okay. The Gemara asks, how about another one? Why can't he say that the Mishnah, that the Braisa is talking about a ben pekua, where you have, you shecht an animal and you find an unborn animal in the womb, where there you're allowed to eat that baby, at least according to Rav Shimon, without shechita. So you could say then in that case that he's able to eat the animal without shechita. And the answer is again, could a mayor draw a ben pkur tone shchita? No, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Meir that even a ben pkur requires shchita. There are actually in Masechta Cholin, it talks about a lot of details on that. There may be cases where it is mutter without shchita, but basically when you find a live animal in there, then you do need to check. So the Gemara says, "Well, literally, like you're going to Omer Bedin. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan explain that we're talking about where the Shomer went to a din Torah, and Beistin sure enough testified that he kept the animal for himself. But Omru like say Temloy, and Beistin told him go give the animal back to him, and then he shechted it. Da Omer Rabbi say Temloy Tavachamachar." Potter. After all, Rava had said, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if Beistin told him, say Tenloy, go give him the animal, and therefore that by that point it's already considered that it's out of his reshus, and then he shechts it, and then Tava Chamacher, at that point Potter, and then he's Potter from the Abav Chamisha, because then at that point, so he's paying kefil. He's paying kefil, but not abav chamisha. My time of coming to paskil milsa. Then the reason is because once he interrupted them, because once the matter was paskin, then he has to pay. Then that's it. The gneva is over. Tova chamacher have a gazlan. Now when he shechts or sells the animal, that's a new gzela. He's considered a new gazlan. He's considered a gazlan. The gazlan, the mishan, the shlomah abav chamisha, and a gazlan, of course, is not paying abav chamisha, as we learned earlier, in Perek Zayin, that only a ganav, not a gazlan, is paying tashlomah kefil and tashlomah abav chamisha. But Rava says chayev atav litenloy. If Beistin only said you chayev to pay him, but they didn't yet say tenloy, go give it to him. Tovachomacher chayev. Then if he shechted or sold, he would be chayev. My time a kol kamad loy psikole milsa akati ganavu. Because as long as it hasn't been paskin that he has to actually return it, then he's still a ganav, and therefore the tovachomacher is still a continuation of the original gneva. So why did Rabbi Yochanan have to explain that we're talking about the guy ate it as nevela, where it would be so much easier to explain this kind of case? And the answer is Amri. They answer back. Vili taimech knew, and according to your svara that you're even asking the question, lishni le b'shutaf tovach shalem das chaveroi, that you could say it's talking about a partner who shechted without his other partner's knowledge. And that would also be a case where he's potter. So you can have two people who stole the animal together, and then one of them shechted shalemi das chaver, right? We learned earlier in the Masechta that he'd be potter in that case, because the pasuk says that he has to pay chamisha boker, not chamisha chatzoi boker. We talked about a case. We had a case where he stole from two partners, where there, and then he was murdered to one of them, where there he's only paying chamisha chatzoi boker, but that's different because originally he stole the whole thing. But here we're talking about where one of them shechted it without the knowledge of the other. So therefore, the one of them does not have the full chiyuv of the tavachomacher. If he did it with the other one's das, Rashi points out he's a shliach and shluchas shodim kamoisei and tachas the rabbis the shliach. So therefore, he would be chayev, but not in this case over here. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan give that answer as well? So you're right. We can say very simple that Rabbi Yochanan is giving one possible answer. It's true. He could have said that it's talking about where there were two partners who stole and only one of them was Teveach HaMoicha without the other one's Das. He could have said like Rava that we're talking about where Beis Din already told him to actually go pay, as opposed to just chayev atin litanloi without a psak din yet. And Rabbi Yochanan could have equally, so he could have said those, but instead he chose to say the answer that he ate it as nevela, where there was no shchita at all. But it's true. In all those cases, we can say that in all those cases, there's no tashlama above a chamisha, and therefore that would be the case that the braisa is talking about, where he's potter from tashlama above a chamisha. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan's din would still apply that if the shomer himself was teveach or moicher after claiming toin tanis ganav, he would in fact be paying tashlama above a chamisha. And we'll continue talking about other cases of Toyin Tainas Ganev and other details about those things, and eventually we'll get back to the basic dinim of Gneva that we're dealing with in our parish.